Welcome to My Wild Magic with me, your host, Adrienne Cobb. Join me on a journey back home to your truest self in this inspiring, enlightening, and entertaining show. After a near-death experience in a car crash at 15 years old, I made a choice to stay and brought back with me three simple truths that I found from the other side. Love is all there is. Our time is over here quicker than we think. And we all have a purpose, a soul blueprint to fulfill. On this show, you will find a higher purpose, a creative expression, and unique soul attributes that you can bring forth into this world. Stay tuned with me for the next hour and find your higher purpose on My Wild Magic, starting now. Hello, everyone. Thank you so much for being on the show. This is My Wild Magic with Adrienne. I am Adrienne. And today we have on the show is Deborah Tara Weltman. And she's written this awesome, you know, kind of like journal sort of book, really, called The Camino Lessons. And it's about her journey kind of through Spain. It's like kind of a 500-mile journey, roughly, through Spain and, you know, kind of a sacred journey, a pilgrimage, basically. And she took this. She decided to take off on this journey at about the age of 60. And pretty fascinating. I mean, it takes a tremendous amount of courage to do what you've done. And I'm just really excited to have you on the show and to hear about your journey and your highlights and your lows and everything in between. But welcome.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm thrilled to be here. Thank you for inviting me. And yeah, so the Camino de Santiago is an ancient pilgrimage route. It's over 1,000 years old. And maybe before that, there's no documentation, it was a Celtic pilgrimage route. It went a little further than the city of Santiago de Compostela in Spain, which is St. James. St. James of the Campus of the Stars, that's Santiago de Compostela. And so this Celtic pilgrimage route went all the way to Finisterre, which is the end of the earth, which I just, that was what tickled me.
That
name. It's like, whoa, the end of the earth. The idea of a Celtic pilgrimage trail really called to me.
Yeah, reading your book, that one did too. I mean, because it sounds as though, if I understand you correctly, you have a Jewish heritage, right? And then this route, let's say in its original origin, supposedly, most probably, was Celtic, right? And then the Catholics took it over, like they do maybe other different types of pagan type things, and made it sort of their own. So it's like you got a Jewish orientation going on a Celtic path, which drew you in, that essentially was taken over by the Catholic, you know, intention as well. So it's an interesting mix of, I just love kind of the blend of all of it coming together, kind of like a oneness, honestly, of all these cultures.
Yeah, and the Spanish Catholic culture, to go in there was the most welcoming and comforting place I think I've ever felt. I mean, I just felt like they were happy I was there. They were wanting pilgrims, not for financial gain. I mean, that's part of it, but they feel like this is something that they get to share. This heritage pilgrimage walk is something that's meaningful, and they're privileged to help the pilgrims on their way. I cannot tell you all the help I got from people who weren't pilgrims, who lived in the little cities and towns that we went through. And we'd be walking through wearing a backpack and our scallop shell, which is the sign of being on pilgrimage. And so they knew we were pilgrims, and they would stop and give us directions and, you know, answer questions. I had one lady who stopped me to tell me about a free place to spend the night when I was most tight on money. So there were angels. It was beautiful.
Wow, that is awesome. Yeah, I love it. You know, there's a series on Netflix. I don't know if it's still up there, but it's called The Kindness Diaries. And it's this English guy, and he has this documentary that he does where basically his whole documentary is on the kindness of others and what is it like being human. So his thing was, he had like this little yellow, like motorbike with a side seat in it. And he did have his film crew with him, but his job, as he kind of traveled all the way across Europe, similar to what you're doing, but he started in England and he had to get boats across the channel. He had to find a way all the way across over into like Eastern Europe with no money. So he had to depend on the kindness of others, where it was gas or his motorcycle, or sometimes his motorcycle would break down, or places to sleep at night, or food to eat. And, you know, and it's just, it's fabulous. It's just so heartwarming. So I love what you're saying about just really the kindness of others on your trip goes a long way, I think, in just terms of that heartfelt energy.
And there's something too about the Spanish culture, and I'm not widely traveled, so I can't do a lot of comparison, but compared to what I've seen in the United States, they're really family centric. So you would see in the evenings after siesta, the family, the whole family would get together from the grandparents down to the little baby in the stroller, and they would go to the cafe bar together, and they would all have appropriate drinks for their age. And the grandkids would be hugging the grandparents, and they would all be together. And it just, it was a regular thing. It was not something that was for a special occasion, you know, Mother's Day. So yeah, it was beautiful. There was a lot to learn about this culture.
I mean, do you find that being part of that, how long were you there for first off?
About a month and a half.
So, yeah. And so while you were there for a month and a half, I find that traveling abroad is one of the greatest things you can do as a human being, because you get to experience other cultures. It really helps you to have more awareness of yourself, you know, when you go out into the world, but also other cultures, other belief systems. And so do you find that experiencing the being with the Spanish families and all that, I mean, did it change you in how you came back and experienced your own family? And appreciation, or?
I think it was just kind of an eye-opening experience of what could be. I don't have little children anymore, and, you know, my kids are kind of on their own, so it wasn't something that I could control. And as much as a parent, I try to get my kids to come over and have dinner with me, it's like they got their own lives. So it's different here, but I love the idea that the whole family was together and nobody was left out at home, and nobody was, I mean, people weren't, they were just so kind to their children.
That really says a lot. Yeah. So what really kind of inspired you? Like, it sounds like from reading your book, The Camino Lessons, and people can get that on your website. Like, what is your website if people
you
want
to get it at Amazon? There's a link on my website, which is terraartpublishing.com. And there's a link there to Amazon, and it's available in Barnes and Noble.
So Camino Lessons, right? And it's kind of a journey. So what happened, to me, it kind of reminded me of the Eat, Pray, Love, you know, somebody who's kind of on their own soul journey in a way. Mm-hmm. This is just your personal version of it, but it seems like you really had a lot of cool experiences, which you journal about in here and you talk about. But what really started it, because it's considered, anytime you're going to go, like, how would you identify a pilgrimage anyway? Like there's, you know, Middle Eastern pilgrimage and pilgrimage in Jerusalem. And so what is a pilgrimage?
Well, for me, I had absolutely no background at all in the concept of pilgrimage, except for having read Chaucer's Canterbury Tales. And so I knew nothing about pilgrimage. And I don't know that I was called to this because it was a pilgrimage. I mean, the closest I can come, it's like maybe it was a past life thing, but whether that was the case or not, I felt called to it. So the first time I heard about the Camino de Santiago was reading a book Shirley MacLaine wrote on this. This was right around 2000. And her book was called The Camino, A Journey of Spirit. And when I read that book, I just was like, oh, I'd really like to do that someday.
She was sort of an inspiration then a little bit. And she's, you know, so Shirley MacLaine has kind of her own, like, if people don't know about her as an actress, she also has a very spiritual side to her as well, very intuitive spiritual side. And so it sounds like she kind of took it on as a spiritual journey.
And I don't know why she decided to do it. And I can't speak to her experience, but I do know that I read the book twice. The first time, when I read it, I was called, and it seemed like she was having all kinds of experiences, spiritual experiences on the journey. And that's probably what called to me. The second time I read it was when I was just getting ready to leave to go on my Camino. And at that point, it seemed more about her concerns that the paparazzi were chasing her around Spain and she was frustrated with that. But the one thing that was interesting, and I talked to a number of other pilgrims who I met about her book, and it seemed like everybody remembered the same thing. She talked about these wild dogs that were on the path and she had to fight them off. And everybody I talked to had that same kind of fear from that. So I think perhaps the Camino called to those of us who needed to deal with our fears. And so there were a number of us on the Camino at that point who had this same fear issue, although I'm the only one that I know of who discussed it a lot, but we did all have that response to the wild dogs. And so the subtitle of my book, which I think is important to know, is Losing 21st Century Fears on an Ancient Pilgrimage Trail.
Losing 21st Century Fears on an Ancient Pilgrimage Trail. I mean, it is an awesome subtitle, actually.
Thank you.
Yeah. Very well put.
And it was actually how my Camino went. So I think I got called in because I had these fears. Shirley MacLaine's book and her fears were, you know, what started it. And then I just kind of sat with the idea of wanting to go on pilgrimage. And 10 years later, I'm almost embarrassed to say, not having planned anything, not having saved any money, not having walked and gotten in shape to do 12, 15 mile hikes a day. At that point, I got something else that scared me, and it scared me to go to do my Camino. And that was, I got a message, which it came in my ear. It wasn't in my brain, came from outside of me. And that was that if I didn't walk the Camino that year that I was going to turn 60, my life would be forfeit. I literally heard those words. And
you heard them basically on a spiritual level, like clairaudient type level.
Exactly. And I was pretty freaked out. I thought, well, I don't think this is about I'm going to die if I don't walk the Camino. But what felt right to me at that point was that my life wasn't going to proceed in my best soul self way if I didn't walk the Camino, that was something that I was supposed to do in this life. This was something that I had said I wanted to do in this life. And if I didn't do it, you know, I was just going to lose this opportunity.
Wow. Inspirational to kind of jump on in there and get it done. Wow. Because it reminds me, and I think you might mention it as well, but it's very much like the hero's journey, you know, of Joseph Campbell and, you know, some of the other people who talk about that. There's a guy who writes a book called The Destiny Giver, each of us, when you look at your soul blueprint, there is essentially, you know, a hero's journey that lives inside of all of us. And if we take that journey, I think it really opens us up to our inner geniusness, our soul blueprint, our higher sort of divine sacred qualities, you know, and it can be very, very simple in a sense, but stepping outside of our comfort zone obviously is usually a big part of the hero's journey. And most people don't have the courage to do it.
I think I had not quite enough courage until I got that little scare, and that's what I needed. And I think all along the Camino, I got tweaks, you know, some divine push, go do this, because I needed it, without it, I wouldn't have moved forward. So that was, you know, thank you. That was a perfect thing to say to me.
Yeah, those messages that come in can be quite meaningful. So we're going to go to a quick break. So everybody stay tuned to hear more about these highs and lows of this Camino pilgrimage trail.
Have you known that you're on a soul path, but often wondered why you don't have the insight of how to go from here to there, or whether or not what you're doing is going to take you to where you want to go in your soul's journey? Damayante is the show for your soul. Damayante speaks to your soul, connects with your soul, and shines a light for your soul. Damayante, the show for your soul with Sarah Main, brings you insights and a pathway to your soul's journey on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
It is time to get inspired to take action in your life.
Tune in to Know You're Crazy.
Crazy.
With me, Susan Denae. We are identifying, understanding, and treating our crazy one episode at a time. We all have crazy in our lives. The thing that sets us apart is how we deal with it. And I've got you covered. Enjoy your journey. You are worth it. Visit SusanDenae.com. That's DENEE.com.
Does your life often feel like an emotional tsunami where rogue waves crash down on you, leaving you feeling hopeless and wondering if it will ever end? Do you wish to awaken the dormant strength inside of you? Imagine what it would be like to turn your pain into purpose. Start today by scheduling a complimentary consultation with Martinet. Dive into your healing journey and begin to see your life in a new light. Visit MartinetEmmons.com and make your appointment today.
Take control over your future. I'm Lisa Belts, and I'm here to help you realize your true potential and become unshakable. Schedule a completely free introductory coaching session with me now to see for yourself how I work. Get the divine guidance that you need to transform your life for the better. Go to lisabelts.com and take that step towards transformation. That's LYSABELTZ.com.
Are you ready to manifest the highest version of your life? Then let Adrian Cobb guide you on your own personal soul quest. Every year, Adrian hosts 2 7-day virtual solstice quests and a 21-day soul quest to create a quickening in your soul's evolution. During the quest, your heart unravels and you remember the depth of your love. The essence of who you are is always wanting to be fulfilled. To learn more, visit mywildmagic.com. That is mywildmagic.com.
Welcome back, everyone. I am Adrian, and we have on our show today Deborah Tara Weltman, who has written the book Camino Lessons, where she took a spiritual pilgrimage that goes through the French Pyrenees Mountains and into Spain. It's about a 500-mile journey. Maybe it's a little bit longer, but it's probably a little bit longer, right?
No, it's right around 500.
It's right around 500. Okay. And so where does it actually start and end?
Well, there's Camino paths all over Europe. Actually, people started this pilgrimage from wherever they lived. So I actually have a Camino friend who sent me a picture of a scallop shell on the road in Germany. And that was a marker to show that they were on the Camino, that people were on the Camino. So there have been pilgrimage trails from all over Europe that ended up in the city of Santiago de Compostela, which is where the relics of St. James are supposed to be buried. And they built a chapel over that. And there were miracles. And so people started coming. And people were sent by their priests to, if they had done something that they needed to repent for. And so they walked pilgrimage to either repent for their sins, or sometimes they were paid to repent for other people's sins.
Sin eater, yeah, that whole story about the sin eater. Yeah, you got enough money, you just pay somebody else to do it.
Yeah,
how funny. Wow, did not know that was something. Okay.
but in current days, the most common walk that is done is the Camino Francés, which starts at the city of Saint-Jean-Pied-de-Port at the base of the French Pyrenees, goes up over the Pyrenees, and then you're in Spain, and you're in northern Spain, and you walk across northern Spain almost to the Atlantic coast, to the city of Santiago de Compostela. And then that's the official end of the pilgrimage trail, but a lot of people continue on the walk to Finisterre, the end of the earth, which is another couple of 3 days walk. I did not do that walk. I took a bus because I really wanted to get there, but boy, was I done walking.
Yeah, I bet. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, that's brilliant. Yeah. So for the spiritual aspect of this particular walk, so it sounds like one of the aspects, at least from the Catholic point of view, is to do this walk is sort of like releasing your sins, and it's a, it's a way to kind of walk it off in a way, right? You know, to do something extraordinary to help compensate for things that maybe you've done in your past that weren't so good. I'd imagine it definitely kind of clears a person's head and gives them time to think. It's like a walking meditation.
I think that's all true. I can't speak to the Christian or Catholic, all the details of that, because I wasn't raised in that tradition and I don't know. But yeah, it's interesting because everybody's Camino is different. So there are a lot of people who go for religious reasons. There are a lot who go for spiritual reasons. There are some who go for vacation because it's a beautiful walk. It's very inexpensive. And people in Europe, particularly when they don't have to fly to Europe, they're already there, they'll do a segment of the Camino just for a vacation. So you'll go walk for a week. And because you're staying in albergues, basically it's a hostel with a bunch of other people. Sleeping facilities aren't great, but you know, it's cheap. And so it's a very inexpensive vacation if you're in Europe to start with. Mm-hmm. But when I went, I thought it was for some kind of a spiritual reason. I didn't know what. And the only thing I could say was that I really felt strongly that I wanted to go. It was really important to me that there was something that would come from my experience that would make a difference in the rest of my life. And therefore, I wanted to do it.
But did you find it? Like, did you feel like you consciously came to that realization?
I think after I came back and after I worked on the book, I got more of it. It was very helpful to have been journaling while I was walking. So each day's journaling, when I went back and read the whole thing all together, I did see common themes. And the common theme in my case was, one of the big ones was losing fear. So there were a lot of fears that I had, and I went through some real struggles with those. One of the biggest ones was that I would run out of money on the Camino, which I came pretty close to. And the ways that I was helped out were just amazing. There's a phrase that people speak about the Camino provides. And it's very true. I've heard people say, you know, they fell, they hurt themselves, and poof, there's a nurse there walking on the path. In my case, I had run out of money that I could take out of my account. I was trying to use my credit card to get cash advance, and I missed having a PIN number with me that I needed, and I didn't have any way to get the PIN number. So one of my walking friends at that point came up and said, well, how about when we all go out to eat together, we'll all pay you cash and you can pay using your credit card. And that's how I got through the rest of the Camino, was people helping me out that way. I mean, it's just all kinds of things that I needed to have show up for me to feel trusting in a divine source again. They show up.
I mean, it sounds as though, you know, there is a, sometimes when I travel around places, I can see like, it's kind of like live streams of other past lives and stuff, right? And so when people have prayers, meditations, it leaves a stream of energy. Just like if there's a violent event, like a war, you know, deaths and things like that. Well, so if somebody's walking the Camino, it sounds like it has gathered a lot of very positive, high vibrational energy, which then also attracts in angels, which will coordinate miracles. So it sounds like it's been almost ordained by sheer intention and thought forms and heart-centered energy. And it's been traveled so regularly, so often with this intention of goodwill and good energy and devotion, that when you're on it, you're literally in, like, as I'm imagining walking this with you on the inner levels, it's like you're walking in kind of a tube of light, like a blessed, you know, channel of light is how it looks on the inner levels. And again, it does attract in angels and different beings of light that might inspire somebody through maybe letting them know or being there at the right time or coordinating things. It's so beautiful to look at, actually.
And the interesting thing is that it was those kinds of help that I got, but also the kinds of help that I didn't know I needed. So it was about learning lessons. And sometimes the lessons were painful, but it was the right people showing up to teach me what I needed to know.
Yeah. And give me an example of that. Like, what would that have been like?
So I had some friends I was walking with for a while. And these were people I met there.
And just one quick question. So did you went out solo to do this trip, but you connected to other people on the path for periods of time?
Yes. And okay. They talk about you get a Camino family. It's like you make friends with people. And, you know, sometimes you walk with them for days. Sometimes you walk the whole Camino with them. It just depends on the set of circumstances. But I had met up with some people, and then more people would join us and other people would fade off. And so these couple of friends I had walked with for most of the last like couple of weeks or week, at least at that point. And they played a practical joke on me. And I am the world's most gullible person. So I fell for it and I didn't get it for quite a long time. And when I finally did, I found that I was kind of pissed off. It also had to do with the fact that I hadn't slept well for a few weeks. And because you're in the hostels with snorers and you're in pain because, you know, you're not used to walking that much.
Yeah.
And so I was just really angry. And what ended up happening was at that point, I realized I needed to go walk by myself, which was the whole point of me doing the Camino, was so that I'd had this time by myself. And I hadn't taken it because I was so afraid of getting lost. That was another of my big fears. So I feel like these people were angels. You know, they came in and they made me mad so that I would go do what I needed to do.
Yeah, to that divine intervention, you know. Mm-hmm. Yep, divine interventions.
I didn't get that till I got back, mind you. You know, it didn't make sense to me, but when it did, it was like, oh, yeah, that's very clear. That's how it works.
Yeah, very cool. So with all that then, you know, in talking about these fears, one of the things it sounds like is also that energy of not worrying. Like, it sounds like that was one of your things that you write about in the book quite a lot, about unworrying, you know, trying to break that habit. And I think a lot of us do have that habit of worrying. So it sounds like one of your main worries was financial, like money related type worries, other than getting lost. Were you ever worried about violence or having your stuff stolen or being attacked? Like, I mean, the wild dog sounds like a little bit, but did you have any worries about people?
Not so much. For whatever reason, and I had talked to a number of people who were very intuitive before I left. And the comment that I got most often was that I would make wonderful friends there. And mm-hmm. So I was there looking for my friends. And I
So your intention really set that up from the beginning. Have you maintained relationships with some of those people?
Yeah.
So it really is like a Camino family then. So you set out with the intention of meeting friends. So the people part and how people relate, because there is a lot of fears in the world, I think, about how misaligned people are. But I find a lot of times people are just good people, mm-hmm. you know. Yeah. So that did not fear. So, that's good. That's good. So it's really a safe world. Even in the documentary on the Kindness Diaries, and including the book, The Destiny Giver. One of the things about the local tribal community is he was telling the story about, you know, oh, you're safe. We're going to always protect you. We're your tribe. We're your family. We love you here. But God, if you just go to the next town, they're horrible over there. And so he goes walking, he gets to the next town, and they're very friendly and nice. And that town's like, oh, gosh, as long as you're here, we'll protect you and give you anything you need. But God, if you go to the next state, they're going to be horrible over there. They murder, they kill, they steal. And he continues walking. And sure enough, they're nice too. And it's like our communities tend to do that, it seems. So it sounds like your experience really was awesome. So we're going to have to take a quick break. Though we'll be right back in just a moment, because I want to go further into nice people. Okay.
Have you heard about shifting the collective vibration and consciousness on the planet? Join me, Kimberly Barrett, on the Sharing Love and Light show every first and third Tuesday at 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern at transformationtalkradio.com to explore the depth of vibration and consciousness on our planet and learn how you can shine your love and light. To learn more, visit sharingloveandlightshow.com.
Are you wanting more for your life? Are you ready to create your life with confidence and contribution? We all have a gift to give to the world. Becoming you is that gift. In order to truly live your life, you have to become you on purpose and with intention. Leah Rowling supports you in becoming you using the B Method, consistently producing results for hundreds of entrepreneurs and business owners. For more information, visit leahrowling.com.
On the Spiritual Freedom Show, you will hear the voice of an extraterrestrial master speaking through my teacher, Dr. George King, as it was recorded over 60 years ago. I'm Richard Lawrence, and on this podcast, I bring you the nine freedoms, which I believe to be the greatest wisdom on earth, with practical ways to give global service and attain enlightenment.
Boy, does this feel like good times today. It's so great to have all of you tune us in and turn us on. I love it. This is a show that's going to invite all of you to open up your heart because it's about dreams coming true. There's a road we get to take as we craft out and we lay a course that's in service of so many others. Sometimes the universe, God, whatever you believe in, have you ever wondered why, but better than why, or how the universe knows how to line things up in a way that gets you ready for the most expansive part of who you're going to become? This is the time to change. And gratitude, leading with love, opens up more expansive possibilities than you can imagine. Crust busting your way to an awesome life.
I want to thank you all for tuning us in, turning us on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Welcome back. You are on Transformation Talk Radio, and we are having a beautiful conversation today with Deborah Tara Weltman, who wrote this book, Camino Lessons, Losing 21st Century Fears on an Ancient Pilgrimage Trail. I think we should all just, you know, I think it is even maybe the Buddhists a lot of times say, you know, take some time before you get married, before you have kids, you know, take time for your own spiritual development, take time, you know, maybe to go do a pilgrimage. And there's different pilgrimages around the world, like the Jewish have one maybe where you walk at a certain time of the year, maybe to the Wailing Wall. I'm not really sure. Like, what other pilgrimages are out there that you're aware of?
Well, the ones that I know are more European centric. I mean, there used to be the big pilgrimage routes used to be in the Middle Ages to Santiago, to Jerusalem, and I think to Rome. But now there's lots of other routes. So, for example, the book that I read when I was in high school, Canterbury Tales, was a pilgrimage walk to Canterbury, England. And I don't even remember the reason why it was a pilgrimage, but there's, I think most of the routes that people know of are more Christian centric. I'm not real up on it, although I know I've had desires to walk other routes, like the Glastonbury in England, and yeah. There's lots.
Yeah, well, even a modern day mystic Forrest Gump, you know, he did his pilgrimage back and forth across the U.S. Yeah, and I do think in that same area, there is a Mary Magdalene one, you know, maybe more in the southern France, where I think again it's kind of the pilgrimage that she had to take, getting up into England and some of those places with the Druids and stuff. So that would also be kind of fascinating. So we're talking about the unworrying aspect of it. And so you did have the money fears, but we can see where that kind of worked itself out magically. Not fear of people, which was really good because some people have a fear of people. Europe doesn't really have as many guns and things like that. So probably a little bit less to worry about there. And then there's the wild dog fears. That was a common theme. So how did the wild dog thing show up, or did it at all? Like, what's the deal with that? Why is that a fear?
Well, it when Shirley MacLaine went, I guess there were all these dogs that roamed around in packs and chased her or chased people. When I was there, there were lots of cows and sheep and dogs and chickens. And I mean, the only wild animal I saw was a lizard. Everything else was cared for. So
wow, nice.
They were out in public sometimes. So you'd sit outside at a table at a cafe bar. There was one day there was a chicken there and there was a dog, you know, and they're just animals there, but they weren't dangerous.
And then, so you're going over the Pyrenees Mountains. What's the elevation of the Pyrenees? Like the highest point that you have to go?
I don't know it off the top of my head. It's not the world's tallest mountain, but it was enough to stop me in my, well, not stop me in my tracks, but slow me down big time.
Like 6,000-7,000 elevation, maybe 5,000?
I don't think it's that. I'm sorry, I don't remember.
Yeah, that's okay. That's okay. I didn't get the feeling it was like super uber high, but yeah, yeah.
It's not, but it's like if you're from Missouri, there's not places to do a lot of hiking practice where there's tons of big hills. And I did some practice, but the first day when I was going up the Pyrenees and I had made plans to stop at an albergue, a hostel that was halfway up, which I'm so glad I was told to do. Because as I was walking, whatever this elevation was, my heart was beating really hard and I had to stop like every 10 steps and just rest and breathe. And then I'd go 10 more steps. And by the time I got to the albergue there, I sat out in front at a table and I was just, you know, enjoying the beautiful scenery and relaxing and waiting for the rooms to be ready so we could go inside. And a person came up to me and said, "Are you all right?" And I said, "Yeah, I'm okay." And when I went into the ladies' room later, I looked at myself, my lips were completely white. So I was oxygen deprived.
Wow.
I just wasn't used to that level of the height and the lack of oxygen. But by the next day, I was okay. So my body had a
my goodness.
Yeah.
That was kind of a surprise. Yeah. So did you ever camp along the way?
I'm sorry, say again.
Did you camp outside along the way? It's always in the hostels, basically, always. Did you ever go? Did people ever invite you to stay in their house?
I did not have that experience. Sometimes I've heard that people have, especially when the hostels are full, like if it's a particularly busy time on the Camino, and there are many, 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 many thousands of people who walk it every year. So when I went, I happened to be there. The first week was Holy Week, the week before Easter, and it was jam-packed full. And so it was a fine accommodation given the set of circumstances because we went to three different albergues before we find one that we could get into. But it was the floor of an old gym and they had mattresses on the floor and they gave us wool blankets and we had our backpacks. And
that's your deal.
It was a place to sleep and we were safe. So, you know, this isn't about fine dining and wonderful accommodations.
It sounds like it was quite beautiful though.
Oh, it was gorgeous. Spain's beautiful. That we went through little city after little city and all the beautiful, the hills and wildflowers and oh my gosh. Yeah. It's just gorgeous. One of the places I stayed, I just loved the view. We were on the top of a fairly high area. And so if you looked out the windows, you know, you could see the mountains surrounding and then you could see the descent. But the next morning, as the fog settled, it was the mountaintops peeking out of the fog and they looked like they were peeking out of water. It was beautiful.
Well, I just had to know the elevation. So it looked though, you know, when you're doing that walk, basically it looks like it can go up to about 4,100 feet.
Oh.
But it sounds like the majority of it is averaging right around 3,000 and something, 3,600. So it looks like the very tip of it is, yeah, right around.
Oh, yeah, Great Arrow is
pretty much. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So doable. But when you're having to walk it, that's a whole different stress on your body going up.
And a backpack. And I just wasn't used to it. And I was turning 60 and hadn't been walking regularly for years. So, you know, I'm glad I got to do it, but I sure wasn't prepared enough.
Yeah, are we ever really, right? So, okay, so the unworrying part. So what's the recommendation for when people have just worries in their life, whether they're wanting to take off on part of their hero's journey, a new business, a new child, a new relationship, moving somewhere, doing something outside of their comfort zone? You know, what was really helpful for you about that?
I think that a few things. One was that I came up with a phrase that helped me, which was that worrying dissolves. How did I say it? You got it?
Yeah, I do think I have it here. Yeah, it was one of the things that you wrote. Yeah. So I don't know if this is the right one or not, but the problem is that we're focused on problems. All of our energy goes into thinking about, worrying about, and trying to fix our concerns. What we should be doing is shifting our perception to a higher level so that we can tap into our courage and imagine a world that isn't beleaguered with issues and actually dream it into being. Another one that you wrote, which...
And I can't take credit for that. That was a quote.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. And then another one is, pray and very consciously attempt to let go of worry as an ongoing day-to-day process. I will attempt to notice and drop worrisome thoughts as quickly as possible.
Planning solves, worrying dissolves.
That's it. Yeah. I read that one too. Yeah.
And that was, that was like my little mantra for me. So if it was something I could plan and I could, work towards something being accomplished, I could do it. But if I was just going to fret, I was like, no, you don't have permission to do that. You have other things that are more important to do. And that did help. It did help that I talked with you and you gave me fabulous advice, as you always have, which the advice was to stand behind myself. This was something that was very meaningful to me, that I needed to stand behind myself. And to me, I took that as I have to do whatever I have to do. I cannot let this go or it'll be on me. And so I had help from friends in my Artist's Way group, and they brainstormed with me. I had help from so many people to get to where I was going. But one of the hardest things that I had to do, I'm getting kind of off of the...
No, keep going. Yeah, it's good.
Okay. One of the hardest things I had to do was to ask for help. And this was something that I knew that was incredibly meaningful to me to walk the Camino for whatever reason I didn't know, but I knew it was important to my life. So one of the things I knew was that I was going to have to ask for help with money, because I didn't have enough of it. I hadn't planned ahead. I didn't ever have a job.
About how much at that time, like how many years has it been since you did it?
It's been 11 now.
11 years. Okay. And so at that time, how much did it cost? Just not your living expenses, but just the Camino itself. What is that kind of journey? $500? I mean, it sounds like you're saying a lot of it's kind of inexpensive, but what does that mean?
At that point in time, I was paying in euros, and the accommodations would vary from 5 euros a night to 11 euros a night, occasionally a free albergue, whatever the meals were that I bought. But I did have to worry about my home expenses too. So I had to plan for that as well, because there wasn't anybody here at home to take care of them if I left. So what I did was I put together a plan of how much I thought I would need, which was a guess. And I, started trying to make the number rise on the pole to indicate that I had saved enough. And a lot of that was from help that people gave me. So what I did was I wrote this letter and I asked for help, and I explained how important this was to me on a soul level. It wasn't that I just wanted to go and have a vacation in Europe, but that this was something that was going to be meaningful in terms of me being my best soul person that I could be in my life. And I asked for whatever form of help people could give me. So if they could lend me money, great. If they could lend me hiking gear, great. If they would walk with me, that'd be great. And I got so much help. I got help from my chiropractor friend, who saw me every week before I went to make sure I was in the best shape. I got a Thought of the Day book, Traveler's Thoughts. I've got a Spanish-English dictionary, pocket-sized dictionary, which I used every day. And I read when I didn't have anything else to read. And people donated frequent flyer miles, and combined that covered my flights. So, and I told people, if you can't, you know, do anything else for me, I understand, but will you pray for me? And so there was when I
prayers in himself go a long way for sure. But hold that thought. We're going to be right back. So I'm loving hearing how much support you get. And we'll be right back with the Camino Lessons.
Do your ADHD tendencies get in the way of you doing what you intend to? Traditional strategies for getting things done may not work for you. You need solutions tailored for your unique brain. In Bonnie Minku's training membership program, Productivity Pathfinder, learn ADHD self-mastery step by step at your own pace in a supportive community with live online options each week. Learn more about Productivity Pathfinder at thrivewithadd.com.
Tune into the Dr. Diane Show, where we explore revolutionary expansion of mind, body, and soul every Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. I bring over 20 years of expertise as a mindset warrior, perspective shifter, and unshakable optimist dedicated to helping you reach your wildest dreams in business, health, performance, and relationships. Join the discussion on the show. Learn more about me, Dr. Diane, and receive a free digital copy of my magazine at naturalnutmeg.com.
Are you feeling lost in this journey we call life? When you awaken the truth of your patterns, limitations, and beliefs, you can start to heal relationship with yourself, others, and your circumstances. I'm Ritika Rose, life coach, author, and speaker. My mission is to help you align with your most powerful, authentic self and transform how you experience your inner and outer world. Find the confidence and peace to live the highest version of your life. Visit RitikaRose.com.
It takes courage to step into your calling and go for your dreams. Sabotage monsters can get in your way, preventing you from reaching your potential. You can choose to struggle alone, or you can choose community and support, someone to walk beside you, meeting you where you are. If you are ready to make real and lasting change, Coach Christine Clark is here for you. Find out more about one-on-one coaching and group programs with Coach Christine at sunglowtransformation.com.
Day-to-day living can be difficult in our world today. Most of us don't know how to live a peaceful, joy-filled existence. Learn how to break through these barriers and live a transformative life on Love and Light with me, Dr. Lisa, every day living in peace, every second and fourth Wednesday at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. To work with Dr. Lisa, visit EducationThroughEngagement.com.
All right. Welcome back. We are talking today with Deborah Tara Weltman on the Camino Lessons, Losing 21st Century Fears on an Ancient Pilgrimage Trail, which I highly recommend we all do as human beings at this point. You know, I think it could go a long way. So with having people help you and stuff, you know, you were kind of talking about that. And during the break, you were talking about just how people showed up for you and all that kind of thing. But anything else that you wanted to kind of say about how people showed up and just the goodness that was there?
Yeah, it just felt like a miracle. Every day, somebody new would show up with something new. There was a woman I barely knew who emailed me one day and said, I'm going to get you quick dry camping underwear. I'm like, okay. I didn't know I needed that, but it turned out I did. And she, you know, again, I didn't know her, but she had received my email because I was teaching a class she was thinking about attending. So yeah, it was full of connections to people. I guess I just want to say, I think asking for help is one of the best things you can ever do to move yourself forward on your life path, because we have been sold a bill of goods when it comes to that idea of pulling yourself up by your bootstraps. It doesn't work. I mean, you just are, you know, you're tugging for a really long time. Whereas if you find something that's meaningful to you and maybe meaningful to others, and you ask for help, people want to jump on board. They want to be part of it. And yeah. I feel like I gave a lot of people an opportunity to walk the Camino with me. And hopefully because of the book, a lot of people will get to benefit from the lessons that I learned, because I think they're universal lessons, not just specific to me.
So the book basically not only is telling the story of your trip and your personal story, but it also really brings those points home, a spiritual journey. Again, so like the Eat, Pray, Love, you know, there's like a story, you know, there's spiritual lessons that stand behind it. You know what I mean? And we were just talking about how if anybody kind of wanted to get an idea about what the Camino Trail was like, Martin Sheen was in a movie, I think with his dad, actually, Martin and his son.
Yeah, Emilio Estevez.
Emilio's, you know what I mean? And in the movie, I think his son, it starts out that he has died from some reason, maybe an overdose or something. And then Martin Sheen goes, sort of like the Catholic version of it, he goes to walk it out, do his pilgrimage and take his son with him and spread them along the way. But you kind of get to visually see the Camino, and it sounds like that was being filmed right before you got there and came out in theaters right after you got back.
And it's beautiful. Spain is just gorgeous, and that gives you some wonderful views. Now, the story is different from, you know, everybody's pilgrimage is different, and yeah. This is a story. But just if you want to get an idea of what it looks like on the Camino and what it feels like on the Camino, it gives you a good idea.
Well, and they bring up in the movie some of the challenges that happen on the Camino, too. Mm-hmm. You know, some of the, just like what you said, there's been blessings all along the way, and there has been challenges all along the way, but there's always a blessing to kind of help out with the challenges, which I think that when we're just more free-spirited in life, living more in the moment, that's exactly the cycle of how life really is. We're going to have challenges, but we're also going to have blessings that always kind of come in. And it seems like in human, you know, our humanness now has so many controlled elements to it that we sort of miss out on just being life in the raw, just life and the freedom of just going out and being out there. Because that was the other thing you were saying, is that once you get out there, you can't just run away from your problems. I mean, it sounds like it really causes you to face whatever is truly going on a soul level. So I'd say it's probably a soulful pilgrimage. Mm-hmm. Very easily, because it will bring you back to yourself without some of the modern day distractions that we have.
That's a really good point. I think one of the reasons it's maybe in some ways easier to learn life lessons on a pilgrimage or just on a travel, just somewhere where you're away from your normal life, is because what happens, you don't have any place to go back and run and hide. If something bothers you, you can't go home. You can't get in your car and drive to your home and step away from it. It's there. And so, and it's obvious too. It just, things show up really in stark contrast that might not if you were in your regular daily life. So without giving you an example, I don't know that that makes much sense, but it seemed like every day there was something that happened that was like, oh, okay, got it.
So sometimes when people go on their hero's journey, whatever that might be for them personally, you know, oftentimes we hit a wall. We hit the wall where we just fall to our knees. We almost, it's like the hero's journey on one of those phases that we're in. I think I can't remember how many phases are on the hero's journey, but we usually fall to our knees, and it requires surrender, absolute surrender. And, you know, did you have one of those moments? Maybe it was around the money piece, but was there anything else where you just felt like you just, oh my God, I just don't know if I can do this anymore. Like, start having to ask for help, having to surrender your will to thy will, surrendering your ego. Did that moment happen?
Yeah, I was, when I got to Santiago and I was going to continue on to finish there, I was going to take the bus, and I had limited cash on me, and but I thought I had enough. And so when I went to get my bus ticket, it turned out they didn't take credit cards. Shock. I had to pay in cash. So that took most of my cash that I had. So here I am on the bus to Finisterre, the end of the earth, with very little money. And the saving grace I'm hoping is that my friend who I had made plans with to meet up in Finisterre is going to actually be there. She's walking there. And I'm hoping that we're going to meet there at the same time, and that we'll be able to get together and do the same, let me buy dinner and you pay me in cash. Let me pay for the albergue and you pay me in cash. And so the whole time I was on the bus for this 2-hour ride, I was trying to calm myself down and saying, you know, God has provided for me all this way. Why would that change now? And that was kind of a mini dark night of the soul for me at that point. And sure enough, when I got there, it all worked out fine. So one of my big lessons was to trust and to know that I'm being watched over.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a big one. I mean, I just think as human beings, if we could just all remember that we are just divinely loved, we are unconditionally loved, we are being taken care of, like we just get so caught in our head around all the things maybe we think we need to survive versus, but if we just slow down, I think that's kind of the importance also, maybe a gratitude journal, mm-hmm. is that in gratitude journaling, you really do get the opportunity to have your own kind of hero's journey. I think a lot of times just to see what's being provided and maybe open our hearts to receiving as well, more than what we even would have thought possible. Yeah.
So if anybody decides they want to walk the Camino or do any other traveling, I would highly recommend you bring a journal with you and just write what you remember, because it fades really fast. And one of the benefits for me of having written this book now is that I have a memento of my trip, and all my lessons are there for me to relearn anytime I try to forget them accidentally. So the journaling is wonderful. I did a trip with you to Ireland, and I kept a journal when I did that. And anytime I go back and look at that journal, I remember what I learned.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think a lot of times, I think at that point in time, we were teaching a quest. So it was a quest through Ireland and some of those sacred spots. And I do those pretty often, really. You can go to my website, mywildmagic.com, see what I offer with the quest. But in the process of that, I think that quest and pilgrimages and things like that, they do kind of bring us back to ourselves. But the gifts keep unfolding. So when you have a journal, you go back and you reread it, but because your neuroemotional pathways are shifting and healing and expanding with new information and coming to terms and forgiveness, that when you go back and reread it, you reread it from a whole different place. Therefore, that enlightenment, that soul's wisdom, you're able to take in at a deeper level, you know, and I think journaling can be super powerful for that. So Deborah, I just can't tell you how grateful I am that you came onto the show today and shared your journey with us. It's quite beautiful and inspiring. Makes me just want to throw care to the wind and just walk out the door right now and find my own pilgrimage. So thank you for being on the show.
Walking sticks.
Yeah, absolutely. Walking sticks. Sounds like a good plan. And you can check out her book on Amazon, Camino Lessons, or go to her website at
TerraArtPublishing.com.
That's T-E-R-R-A, artpublishing.com. Yeah, cool. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you. I've enjoyed this so much. Thank you very much, Adrienne.
Absolutely. Okay.
Thanks for tuning in to My Wild Magic with me, your host, Adrienne Cobb. Each one of us has a soul purpose on this earth and a higher purpose full of creative expression and unique soul attributes. Make sure to tune in next week on TransformationTalkRadio.com to continue your journey home to your truest self and pursue the path of unconditional self-love. If you would like to learn more about me, visit MyWildMagic.com. Again, that's MyWildMagic.com.
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.